Hello, I'm John Bates and welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Have you got pork on the menu today? Well, if you have, thank you. And if you haven't, I'm pleased to say that as of today, shoppers in a new market for British pork do. The market for British pork has opened up in Mexico, and with a population reported to be 130 million people, it's some market to go at. We're going to hear what that means for pork producers and for British business. Phil Hadley is my first guest today. Phil is the International Market Development Director at AHDB. Hi, Phil. How long have you and the team been working on opening up this market?
Oh, hi there, John. We identified Mexico as an opportunity for our pork levy payers some years ago, and we've been working closely with industry and with UK government and UK government representatives in Mexico to have those discussions and move through the access process, which is a long and detailed process to get us to the point we find ourselves at now, which is on the brink of actually turning the dream, if you like, into the commercial reality and enabling UK pork to be sold and consumed in the Mexican market.
Phil, you talk about the access process and the fact that it's a little bit drawn out. Just tell us a little bit about that then.
Yeah, well, it is a long and complicated process, but most countries follow a very similar pattern. So from our perspective, dealing closely with our stakeholders and understanding the market dynamics in some key strategic countries, AHDB very committed to growing exports for our stakeholders because we recognise the value that it adds across the supply chain and to the carcass in particular. We identified that opportunity in Mexico and then started the dialogue with government representatives about how to take that forward and turn it into that reality. And the process, as I say, is quite similar across the world, but it starts with the government, the competent authority, in our case, DEFRA, expressing an interest through their through the British Embassy branch, in most cases in country, to start that discussion. And once you've expressed an interest, you go through an application process, and it often results in the first step being a very, very detailed questionnaire that can run into several hundred pages, where you're asked questions about what controls and checks and balances are in place to make sure that your products don't present a risk in the market that you're looking to import. And that's both a risk in terms of food safety: will the product make consumers ill or risk consumers' health, or animal health: will the product spread animal-related diseases? And that's essentially what these countries are inspecting you against: what's the safety aspect and what's the risk factors in gaining approval. So the questionnaires might run to a few hundred pages. That often triggers much more detailed exchanges in very specific areas to really get to the bottom of the nub of the questions, if you like. Once those questions are answered, an audit inspection is booked, and in the case of the Mexican one, we had an audit team in the UK for 2 weeks, and they visited a number of plants and had a series of meetings with government departments and ourselves and others to really explore and understand our sector. Then they go away and consider the results of the audit and often come back with, again, very detailed questions that require to be answered. Once they're satisfied that you've answered all of those questions, you then prepare a draft export health certificate, and you ultimately, again, it might trigger more questions, but you ultimately agree that. And that really lays down what's permitted, under what circumstances, and what conditions need to be met. Then the sites are approved and audited by the competent authority here in the UK. They're recommended to be listed to the Mexican authorities in this case. They respond and list those sites, and then from that point forward, those sites can start their commercial activities, sending product to the country with that new export health certificate signed by their official vet to demonstrate that the products have met all the conditions. That end-to-end process, John, can take anything from 2, 3, 4, 5 years plus in some cases. These are not quick wins. and they require real commitment by everybody, industry, ourselves and government, to actually turn them into commercial reality. So it's really exciting that after that level of effort, we're on the cusp of making this real for our stakeholders.
And Phil, as you describe it, it's clearly immensely detailed. And so congratulations to getting to this point. You talk about, from AHDB's point of view, this is about value added. And so let's just concentrate on that just for a moment in terms of, what does this outcome sort of really mean commercially as far as exporters are concerned that are dealing with Mexico?
Yeah, well, our market analysts have considered the market in Mexico. They're an importer of pork. They buy product from US and Canada and lots of other countries as well. So they are pork consumers with their own domestic production. We estimate the value to the UK pork sector to be in the order of £50 million over the first 5 years. So this is a significant opportunity for the sector. And of course, it may lead to other things in terms of broadening the agreement out to include a broader range of products, including things like offal and processed pork products in the future. So we see this as a £50 million opportunity, but also with the opportunity to grow beyond that in the subsequent years.
You made a reference there to Mexico, and obviously it's in close proximity with the United States. But just to be clear, although a lot of food is imported from the US into Mexico, we're not really competing with the US, are we?
No, we don't. And we see the opportunity to be some value added products and some about the integrity of the British product and being different to US or Canadian products. You know, we're not necessarily the most price competitive country because of our stringent requirements around animal health and traceability and so on and so forth. So what we have to do is really dial up the added value aspects for discerning consumers in those countries. So we believe the market is big enough for us to take an active role in that, for, as I say, that discerning end of the consumer sector in Mexico.
Thank you, Phil. If I can just ask you to pause there, I'll come back to you in a few moments. But now it's a great pleasure to welcome Ana Fernanda to the podcast. Ana is head of the food and drink sector in Mexico and Latin America. And Ana, thank you very much for joining us from Mexico. Just give us a very quick overview of what your role has been in this story.
Thank you, John, and thank you, AHDB, for the invitation. I'm really delighted to be here and at this point, after very intensive 4 years of this process of market access. Phil described it really shortly, but actually has taken a lot of work from different agencies, from ourselves, my role at the Department of International Trade over here in Mexico, DEFRA, the institution in the UK, and of course, the partnership with the industry. We've been working together for this long period of time in order to ensure a market access to the market. Everything started, as I said, 4 years ago with a visit from myself to the UK, explaining DEFRA and the industry, the opportunity that would meant to start working on the bilateral negotiations with the Mexican authority to grant access to different products. It sounded like a very utopic situation, but here we are. We're actually delivering results for the British farmers, and I'm really delighted to be here. Also, my main role, and I believe it was key in this negotiation, is to maintain the communication between the Mexican authorities and the UK authorities to ensure that the process goes smooth, and to provide guidance and support to the industry and to DEFRA in this very long process.
And Ana, I know that AHDB and obviously the exporters, the industry, are very grateful for your efforts. So, but just explain to us, why is trade between Britain and Mexico important?
Well, John, trade is something that's part of the agenda right now for us as the UK government. It's important to understand that we've been working in a partnership with Mexico for a long time. As a matter of fact, UK was the first European country to recognize the Mexican independence, and that's where everything started with the relationship between Mexico and the UK. Both countries, we believe that in free trade and the rules to establish this partnership between countries. There's a big opportunity now for us as the UK, because right now we're in a transition period negotiating a new free trade agreement with Mexico. So this gives us opportunities to push our agenda here in Mexico.
So you're a resident in Mexico, so you're a consumer, you're a shopper yourself. Just explain, where does British pork fit into the menus and perhaps the food trends locally?
Yes, so I am based in Mexico. I'm here in the beautiful city of Guadalajara, and it's important for everyone out there in the UK to know that the 28 countries of the European Union fit in our map in Mexico. So this gives you an idea on how big we are and how vast is our gastronomy over here. So pork specifically is something that it's very important here in the country. It's the main source of one of the main sources of protein for the Mexicans. We consume around 69 kilos per year, positioning Mexico as the sixth most important consumer of meat. So that gives you an idea how this product is very important in the consumption of protein here in the country. So I think our added value products will actually bring something to combine perfectly with this gastronomy and for the Mexicans to see how we can combine different tastes and bring the British products to Mexico.
It's certainly a vast country, that's for sure. And for our listeners, I suspect they'll be intrigued by the story around how British pork and British food sort of generally is regarded in Mexico. And do you really anticipate the fact that the market could grow for British products?
In general terms, as you mentioned at the beginning, I'm actually responsible to support companies to bring their products into Mexico. I myself am right now drinking a British tea. I won't say the brand. I'm not doing a commercial here. But we've been doing lots of efforts to bring more products into the market. As everyone around the world, the pandemic has affected the operations of the imports in general, not only from the UK into Mexico, but little by little, everything is growing back into a normal pace. And meat is something that we will need to work very strongly with AHDB to promote the product into the market and to position it as a value-added product to bring into Mexico. As we did with the market access, it's gonna take time to position the product, but I do see that there's potential and there's interest to diversify the amount of imports from different countries to the Mexican market.
Well, thank you, Anna. And as you know, the British are great tea drinkers. So hopefully on your next visit to England, we'll be able to share a cup of tea together. But thank you very much for sharing your tea on the podcast right now. If I could just move on to Tom Forshaw. Tom is in the Strategic Insight team at AHDB. Hi, Tom. Thanks very much for joining us on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about what you do, because if I think I'm right in saying you're the stats and facts man, is that right?
Hi, John. Yeah, thanks for having me on today. Yeah, so our team at AHDB works primarily within trade and policy, you know, looking at those facts and figures around upcoming trade deals. But we also look at things like domestic policy and all these aspects together and on how they're going to affect UK agriculture over the next sort of five to 10 years.
And so just specifically on Mexico, then, are there other food products that are already being exported to Mexico or you think likely to be exported?
Yeah, so, you know, for Mexico, in addition to that, around £830 million worth of pork that's imported every year, they also do import a range of other animal products. I think if we look to dairy products to start with, imports, they do tend to vary from one year to the next, but over the last 3 years, total imports have averaged around £900 million sterling. Imports mainly consist of milk powders and cheeses, predominantly from the United States. You know, Mexico also imports not an insignificant amount of beef, with average imports over the last 3 years around that 160,000 tons mark, although that import demand has been reducing recently. Again, that major supplier to that Mexican beef market is the United States due to a number of factors, their trade deals and geographical proximity, for instance. Looking to sheep meat, Mexico actually imports a very little amount of sheep meat. You know, per capita consumption is relatively low at half a kilo per person. And what little consumption there is generally served by domestic production. I think if finally we look towards, you know, away from animal products, looking at cereals, corn or maize, as it's commonly known over here, and rice are the main imports. So not something that are of major interest for the likes of the United Kingdom.
Now, we know that, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently around sort of trade relationships around the world and particularly, you know, following Britain coming out of the European Union. And we know people buy from people. So how does Britain strengthen its trade relations?
Yeah, this is a good question, John. And I think, you know, the agenda of Global Britain is to go out there and forge new relationships with a number of countries around the world, and we have got existing agreements that have been rolled over from the EU, and it's worth pointing out that the UK already has a free trade agreement with Mexico itself, and one of those rollover agreements from a previous agreement that the UK was party to as a member of the European Union. I think as part of that rollover agreement, as with other rollover agreements, both sides, you know, Mexico and the UK, have agreed to renegotiate an updated agreement that is better suited to the two economies. You know, the government had a consultation on the updated agreement, which recently closed, which we at AHDB responded to, you know, highlighting some of the key areas of interest from an agricultural perspective, which Phil and Anna have both mentioned already. So, you know, those ongoing relationships and negotiations build those trade relationships. I think it's also worth highlighting, though, that having that free trade agreement doesn't automatically lead to market access. And Phil's highlighted some of the issues around there that, you know, especially for animal products where sanitary and phytosanitary requirements and other trade restrictive measures can be quite strict. You know, for Mexico and the UK, this currently means many of our animal products are currently restricted, which is why those inward missions, inspections and questionnaires that Phil and Anna have touched on are so important in order to demonstrate our safety standards to other trade partners, authorities around the world, and build those trade relationships more generally. You know, Mexico is also a member of the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, known as CPTPP, which is quite a mouthful.
It's easy for you to say, that's all right.
Yeah. Well rehearsed, I think. which is, you know, a large trading block of 13 countries that the UK has ambitions of joining. And so improved relationships with countries like Mexico will all aid with those government ambitions of CPTPP accession.
So, while I've got you, look a bit more generally. I mean, are you very optimistic or slightly optimistic about market opportunities now and really how exports might look in the future?
Yeah, I think if you look at, you know, some of the big organizations like the Food and Agriculture Organization, the United Nations, they're continuing to forecast an increase in an increase in especially red meat demand in developing countries. And, you know, we're starting from a good base here in the UK. We already export about 1.4 to 1.5 billion pounds worth of red meat each year. And that obviously adds a significant value to the supply chain. And, you know, looking beyond the EU, exports to those third countries outside the European Union have been growing consistently in recent years, particularly for the pork sector. You know, beef and lamb exports are still relatively focused on the European Union, but, you know, as part of the work being done with government and AHDB and foreign authorities, we've had, you know, recent successes in gaining access to markets like Japan, US and China for various red meat sectors here in the UK. And we've actually released a fairly in-depth report about the potential of a US trade deal, which you can find on the AHDB website, as well as, you know, various articles about other markets that we see potential opportunities in. And what this increased access does is open up, you know, wider opportunities for a greater variety of products and allows that carcass, in the case of red meat, to be balanced more easily. And that adds value to the whole animal and can have positive impacts across the whole supply chain. I think aside from those market access wins that we've got, you know, there's future opportunities for further access and growth in those new and emerging markets, places like Vietnam, Taiwan and South Korea, where, you know, disposable income and population growth continue to grow, and along with it, that demand for red meat and dairy products.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much. And listeners, if you want to have a look at that US market report, you can access that at the AHDB website, which is ahdb.org.uk. Phil Hadley, if I could perhaps just bring you back in again. Tom's spoken very eloquently there about the amount of exporting that is going on and is clearly quite optimistic about the future. As I said earlier, you lead on the international market development. Perhaps could you share with us any specific info you've got around on markets which our listeners might be interested in?
Thanks, John. I think our role is really twofold. One is the market access work in partnership with industry, government, both here in the UK and overseas, as Anna Fernanda very clearly demonstrates. And now we're at the access approval type stage. We move into the trade development role, and the team then work closely with UK government representatives and industry overseas to make sure that the trade is developed in the way that it should be, and to the best possible opportunity for UK exporters and our levy paying farmer and processor stakeholders. So in terms of those key markets, well, of course, Mexico is a new and exciting one that we'll be looking forward to developing in the coming months. But more recently, we've established access to a number of other countries, including the US for beef, Japan for both beef and lamb. We already had access to pork for both. And we've also increased our access to China for pork during 2019. And we're about to ship the first beef shipments as well. So we do have lots of exciting opportunities in the wider world in those third country markets. And there are also access dialogues going on with Taiwan, Vietnam and South Korea. So you can see, in terms of the scope and the opportunities there, John, there's a whole range of countries that are already taking UK exports or are in the process of approving them. So it is a really exciting time.
Now, of course, AHDB is always under scrutiny, and levy payers, industry, looks closely at what AHDB does. And you've explained that gaining market access is a big undertaking. It involves a lot of hard graft. I am bound to ask you, how committed is AHDB to growing exports?
Yeah, I mean, super committed, John. You've heard the list of countries that we've been working on in partnership with government and others in the last few years. We have some longer term aspirations there to grow even further. Our processor and farmer stakeholders view exports, you know, as critical. And it's around balancing seasonal demand and supply. And the sheep meat sector is a good example where we have times when we oversupply our own market in the second half of a calendar year, and therefore we're net exporters, and times when we're net importers, depending on seasonal production. And the other part of that is the fact that carcass balance, that we in the UK, we have a certain demand for certain cuts of the carcass and little demand for some of the other cuts, particularly the offal products, where that really is important to for us as AHDB to be making sure that we have, where we don't have markets domestically, and we have a domestic team that work very hard to support our levy payers in the UK marketplace, working with retailers, where we don't have that domestic demand, that we're doing likewise on the international market to make sure that we can ensure the highest value for all of the products from the carcass. And when it comes to some of those cuts not in demand at home, then that's overseas. So having access enables our processor commercial representatives to attract the highest price for any particular cut, which obviously increases the value of the whole carcass, and that value feeds down the supply chain. So just to put it into context, the value of red meat exports from the UK last year was in the order or in excess of £1.4 billion. So, yeah, we take it really seriously because it's critical to the success and survival of the industry.
Phil, thank you very much indeed. Thanks for joining us. And thank you also to my other guests. Thank you, Anna from Mexico, and from Tom, who I think is in Warwickshire. So if you've got any feedback on this podcast or ideas for future episodes, you can email me, john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Thanks to podcast producer Josh Borthwick. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.